الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فهذا درس في تفسير كتاب التيسير الكريم الرحمن، في تفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. وقد وصلنا في الأسبوع الماضي ولله الحمد أولا وآخرا إلى منتصف آية رقم 14. فاليوم إن شاء الله تعالى سوف نشرع في إكمال ما وصلنا إليه. نسأل الله يرزقنا الإخلاص في القول والعمل والتوفيق والسداد، وجزاكم الله خيرا. Verse number 14, سورة الكهف, the middle of the verse. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. والله I know. Come on in, brother. Come in, no problem. But make sure you take notes and make sure you have a Quran with you. Okay, Habibi. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says, وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا انشططا. Can somebody kindly read the translation of the interpretation of verse number 14 from your Quran, please? Yes, تفضل حبيبي. Read verse 14 in English.
And he made their hearts firm and strong.
Yes.
With the light of faith in Allah, and bestowed upon them patience to bear the separation of their gifts and king and dwellings.
Yes.
When they stood up and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, never shall we call upon any love but other than him. If we did, we should indeed have uttered an enormity in disbelief.
ممتاز. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض، أي الذي خلقنا ورزقنا ودبرنا وربانا، هو خالق السماوات والأرض المنفرد بخلق هذه المخلوقات العظيمة، لا تلك الأوثان والأصنام التي لا تخلق ولا ترزق ولا تملك نفعا ولا ضرا ولا موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. فاستدلوا بتوحيد الربوبية على توحيد الألوهية، ولهذا فقالوا لن ندعو من دونه إلها، أي من سائر المخلوقات. لقد قلنا إذن، أي إن دعونا معه آلهة بعدما علمنا أنه الرب الإله الذي لا تجوز ولا تنبغي العبادة إلا له، شططا أي ميلا عظيما عن الحق وطريقا بعيدة عن الصواب. فجمعوا بين الإقرار بتوحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الألوهية وتوحيد الإلهية والتزام ذلك، وبيان أنه الحق وما سواه باطل، وهذا دليل على كمال معرفتهم بربهم وزيادة الهدى من الله لهم. The Sheikh said regarding the statement of Allah, as they got up and said, Our Lord, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. The Sheikh said, The Lord of the heavens and the earth, meaning the one who created us, the one who sustained us, the one who arranged our affairs, the one who took care of us. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he is the one, and he is the one who is the sole responsible. The sole responsible for the creation of all the outstanding creation. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not these statues and these idols that they worship besides Allah, that cannot create and cannot sustain, and it cannot provide you with benefit, and it cannot provide you with harm, and then it does not own life or death or resurrection. These other gods, they do. Waalaikum salam. These other gods that they have taken besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the statues that they worship and what have you, they do not possess any benefit or harm. Okay, the rule is, with all my love and respect to my brothers, if somebody enters into the class late, speaking is forbidden. Because you bring in two issues. First, you're late. Second, you're causing confusion among those who are paying attention. So, ma'alish, habibi.
alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum salam. Nothing is new, Habibi. Nothing is new. Yeah, Ali, the liwa. So the Sheikh mentioned that these other idols that the people have taken. Hello? Hello? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. These other idols that they have taken besides Allah cannot create, cannot sustain, do not possess life, death, resurrection. Nothing. There's only one God who does all this, and it is Allah. Only Allah. Nobody else can cause you to die. They could shoot you, but you cannot cause you to die except if Allah has decreed that your soul is going to leave your body. And nobody can give you life. And nobody can bring you out from your grave. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whatever miracles Allah gives to some of His creation in order to do that. Tayyib? Because Allah might give that as a miracle. Now the Shaykh said, so these young men, they used the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, they used the Tawheed of Rububiyyah to prove Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Now I'm sure you studied with whoever you studied with me before what Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is and what Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah is, or no? Wallah, it looks like brothers are on vacation. Everybody knows Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Somebody tells me what Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is. Raise your hand.
Can I read?
No. Tafadhal ya Sheikh.
The Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is the oneness of Rabb.
Aywa, what is Rabb in English, Tayyib?
Of the God.
No.
Lord.
Yes, Lord. Lord. Creation, a creator is under it. But He's the Lord. And under the Lord is creation, sustenance, honor, dominion. He owns everything. All this falls under Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So Tawheed, because Tawheed in Islam, yani the oneness of Allah, is three categories. The first category, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, meaning everything that confirms that Allah is the only Lord, the true Lord. Now we share this with the Christians, we share this with the majority of people on earth who are also disbelievers. We share this with them because Allah says in the Quran, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them, even the disbelievers of Quraysh, those who disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had all these idols around the Kaaba, Allah says, if you ask them in the Quran, who created the heavens and the earth, they will tell you Allah. If you ask a Christian, who created the heavens and the earth, tell you God the Father. They will not tell you that it came by science or by some explosion. They will say God created that. You ask the Jews, same thing. Only a few people on earth, those yani atheists, those who don't believe there is any God, who will deny that. Otherwise, all religions who are ascribed to some sort of prophet, they claim they say that Allah is the creator. So we share Tawheed al-Rububiyyah with the creation. But they're still not Muslims. What brings them into Islam is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the oneness of worship. When you understand that the only one who created everything is Allah, the one Lord, then there's no way you're going to dedicate any worship to other than Him. This is where the disbelievers don't understand. You tell them, you prove, you agree with me that God created the heavens and the earth? Yes. So what are you doing with this saint? What are you doing with this grave? What are you doing with this statue? What are you doing with this little gadget they have and I don't know that they give some sort of worship to? What are you doing with these middle people you're putting between you and Allah? They will not dedicate and sincerely worship Allah alone. They cannot just go, oh God, give me, oh God, save me. They have to go through someone. Crazy stuff. And Allah says in the Quran that they say we're not worshiping these people, man. We are only using them for intercession with God. We are only using these statues or these idols. We know they didn't create the heavens and the earth, but they have certain value with God. They are partners to God. So when we love them and dedicate our worship to them, they will intercede with us with God. So we will not be punished. This is one excuse. The other excuse, they say, we are no good. I'm a bad person. This statue is close to God. And I am too bad to go directly to God. So I go through somebody else who can get me to God. Because I'm not worth it. I'm a bad human being. Right? Or they say, we're really not worshipping them. We worship God, but we have some alliance and some dedication towards these idols. Because at times of hardship, when I ask this idol to give me something, I got it. So it must be able to give me something. So I will go for it. And they will have excuses and excuses and excuses, and all of them are equal to dust. You go like this, and it will fly away. Rather, it is simple, Yashir. Allah created you. Does He know about you? Does He see you? Does He hear you? So why are you going through other ways? If you have a boss at work, let's say your kafir is the nicest Muslim in the world. Tayyib, you work for him. He tells you, listen, if you need anything, you want a vacation, you want more money, you want to take a day off, you want to go to do Umrah, just come to me. I don't like it if you go to somebody else to send me a khitab and give me all this. I don't like all this stuff. You have to come to me. Don't worry, I'm telling you, come to me. I'm your boss. You want anything, it's for you. He makes it clear to you. And there you are sitting in your office telling the other employee, can you please go tell the boss that I want to go on vacation? Yes, sir. He told you, go to him. So you go tell your friend go tell the boss. Brother Ali, his name is Ali. He wants to go on vacation. What is your boss going to do? Say, man, Ajib. I told this guy to come to me. He still sent someone. Ya akhi, don't send anyone. Because you sent someone, you're not going on vacation. Ya akhi, you're fired. You're dumb. I don't want dumb people in this business. I came told you clearly, you want anything, come, I'll give it to you. You still have to go through other people. Why? Stupid? Are you stupid? You must be stupid. If your boss told you, he will give you all these things, and you still go through someone else, something must be wrong with your mind. Allah told this creation, Allah has the best example. Come to me, worship me alone, ask me alone. But they don't want to go to Allah. No, they have to go through other people. If you go through other than what Allah wants, then Allah doesn't want you. You're stupid. You must not understand. Because we agree that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, the one who's handling your business. And these things are nothing. Somebody caused them. This statue of Jesus that they have going like this, somebody had to be in his room working on it, man. If a bird poos on it, if a bird drops his, you know, dung, that statue can't go like this. It will spawn on his face and it will trickle down his face for weeks, unless you come and wipe and clean it. So this thing here, it cannot do anything for itself. How is it going to do something for you? And then you leave the worship of the one true God who knows about you, arranges your affairs, sustains you, provides you, and then you go up looking for sun, moon, prophets, messengers, women, whatever other things people have taken as gods, goddess of love, the Greek goddess of love, and goddess of Valentine, and goddess of plants, and goddess of... They have a goddess for everything. Gods, there's gods everywhere. And some of them dedicate their whole life for them. Buddhist, Buddha, Hindus, and the cows, besides the other thousand gods that they have, they really worship the cow, Yashin. They bring the cow, man, it poops on its floor, it can't even help itself. And I seen it in Britain. One cow had a cow disease. You know that disease that was spread in the cows? It was their god. And the British government said, no, this cow, if it stays alive, it's going to infect other animals. We need to kill it. So all these Hindus came, British people, man, not from India, British people. They came and they tried to make a rally and protect the cow. Their god. And the police were coming and arresting everyone, get on the floor. And they're taking the cow by force. And they're trying to worship the god before it goes away. And wallahi, I read the news and say, wallahi al-azim, alhamdulillah for Islam. Yani, imagine if one of you was that stupid, man, that your god is about to be arrested by police so they can slaughter it because it has a disease. Yeah, if it was a god, it would take the disease away. It would stand like this and say, I'm a godly cow. Come close, I'll knock you out. Instead of that, like a silly animal, they took it, slaughtered it, killed it. And these people are crying that their God was killed. Ajeeb. See, that's why Allah in the Quran always strikes the example of falsehood. It doesn't make sense. And the reason why we emphasize this, so it will really be in the brain, it doesn't make sense. So you will know that there's nothing but Islam on earth that is the truth, and everything else is just a bunch of crazy stuff. Crazy stuff, the least you can say. And every follower of every other religion has something wrong here. There's something wrong. Now, maybe they don't know any better. Tayyib, this is when we bring it to them. Say, look Habibi, this is wrong, this is correct. If they come, Alhamdulillah. If they do not come while they know what's wrong, this is because they have some issue in the heart. It's the brain and the heart. The heart is not clear. It is not sound. The heart is diseased. Because they're prideful. They are arrogant. They know that what they're doing is incorrect. And you prove it to them with all kinds of intellectual evidences, but they still won't follow your ways. They say, we find, as Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ. We find our forefathers, our fathers, grandfathers on a one way, one belief system, and we will follow them on their path. Don't tell me to change my religion, man. I won't change my religion. Even if what I'm bringing you is the truth, even if what you're bringing is truth, even if what you report is falsehood, even so. So, it's a bounty from Allah that we're Muslims. Because not every human being makes that move. Not every human being frees himself from the shackles of disbelief and darkness and decides to make the move into Tawheed, even with the problems you may face with your family members, even with the problem that it may cause you, even if you wind up abandoning the worldly pleasure. You used to drink, you used to have fornication, you used to have fun, and you know when you become a Muslim, no more. You never used to worship and pray, now you have to pray 5 times a day. You used to eat all year round, now you have to fast for 1 month. Life was easy, now you have to go to Hajj. It's a hardship. You used to do whatever comes to mind, now you have limitations. No, in Islam, no, you can't do this. In Islam, you have to do this. For a person to make this move and go into something that difficult, outwardly, it's difficult. Inwardly, it's sweet. Because Allah makes it sweet for those who come with belief. Those who don't really believe properly, they feel it's a burden. But those who believe, they do it with pleasure. They do it, they leave it alone for the sake of Allah with pleasure because they want to go to paradise. So don't misunderstand me. But before you became a Muslim, it seems like it's a lot of things. Especially for the woman. When she knows she's going to have to wear hijab and cover herself and all this, yeah, she, I'm going to be a tent tomorrow. But they still come into Islam. And women come into Islam more than men. Actually, out of each 4, 3 women. In one man. In the Western countries, Europe and in America and whatever, they still enter into Islam. And this is a bounty from Allah. That we were given the ability to make that choice, that strong choice, and to come into the truth. And not be shackled by our old lifestyle, which was something other than Islam. So anyways, these young men were smart. They said, look, Allah, our Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, they used Tawheed al-Rububiyyah to prove Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the oneness of worship, that we should not worship anyone but Allah. That's common sense. Aywa. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا, meaning we will not call besides Him unto any other God from the rest of the creation. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا, we have said then, he said, the Shaykh said, ay, if we call with Allah other gods, after we have recognized that He is the Lord and the one true God, that worship is not, it should not be dedicated except to Him, we would have said something shatata, yani a great, going greatly off the straight path, being driven away from the truth in a very strong fashion. فَجَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْإِقْرَارِ بِتَوْحِيدِ الْرُبُوبِيَةِ, so they combine by admitting about the oneness of the Lordship, meaning Allah being the only Lord, and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, and the oneness of worship, and they were firm upon that. And they proved that it is the truth, and whatever besides it is falsehood. He said, and this is an indication about their extreme knowledge about their Lord. Yeah, and these brothers were knowledgeable brothers. They were some special young men. Because they were using the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah to prove Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And only a person with intellect can do so. And this is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased them in guidance. Now verse 15 says, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. عبد العزيز, wake up Habibi and read verse 15. Somebody else wants to read 15? Hello? Verse 15, read it in English please. Anyone?
There are people, these are.
Yes, yalla, yalla, ya akhwan. We're wasting time.
These are people have taken for worship.
A.
Aliha, that's
other
than Allah.
Yes.
Why do they not pray for them as a their authority? Because that's more wrong than he who invents a life against Allah.
MashaAllah. لما ذكروا ما من الله به عليهم من الإيمان والهدى التفتوا إلى ما كان عليه قومهم من اتخاذ الآلهة من دون الله فمقتوهم وبينوا أنهم ليسوا على يقين من أمرهم بل هم في غاية الجهل والضلال فقالوا لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين أي بحجة وبرهان على ما هم عليه من الباطل ولا يستطيعون سبيلا إلى ذلك وإنما ذلك افتراء منهم على الله وكذب عليه وهذا أعظم الظلم ولهذا قال فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا. The Shaykh said, after these brothers, these young men in the cave, mentioned what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon them from Iman and guidance, now they turned towards the condition of their people. First they mentioned what Allah bestowed upon them. Then they were mentioning amongst each other the conditions, excuse me, of their people who have taken besides Allah other gods. فَبَقَتُوهُمْ, so they hated them. And this is the point that I want to emphasize to you. I want you to pay attention with me. Alaykum salam. I want you brothers to pay attention to this point because this is the highest level of Iman in Islam. This is very important for you to understand. And that issue here is love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. Okay? We have to love whomever we love for the sake of Allah, and we have to hate whomever we hate for the sake of Allah. And this is the highest level of Iman. After you have true understanding of Islam, you reach a point where you can only love those who are righteous, and you can never love those who are misguided. So, anyone who is a kafir, is a disbeliever, a Muslim can never love him. You can never love a kafir. Now, when you don't love someone, it doesn't mean you mistreat him. It doesn't mean you kill him. And it doesn't mean that you oppress him. Okay, there's two different things. That is one thing. And love is another thing. You understand what I'm saying? The same way, you may have a number of children. Okay? And maybe you love one of the children more than the others. It doesn't mean that you go beat up the others. You don't let them go to the park. You don't bring them food. And you only give it to the one that you love. You give each equal. But your heart might lean towards one of them more than the other. The first, is this is justice. But as far as the love, this is another affair. So a Muslim can never love a kafir. You can never love a kafir because Allah doesn't love him. And our love... Yes, come on in, Mr. Late. I'm going to call you Mr. Late. Isn't that great? So a Muslim, ya akhwan, you can never really love a disbeliever with your heart. You will treat him nicely because you want him to embrace Islam and what have you, but that love that a Muslim has to a Muslim can never be given to a disbeliever. Allah says in the Quran, it is not possible for a person who believes in Allah in the last day to have love towards those who disbelieve in Allah. Because every person who is in a state of disbelief he's declaring war against God. He's opposing God. He is rejecting God. So he's a rebellious human being. Even if outwardly he looks like he's not. So for us to love that person is something that is impossible. So we love for the sake of Allah and we hate for the sake of Allah. Our hatred should not make us act unjustly. That's all we need to understand. Even if a kafir comes right now, a disbeliever, let's say Christian, comes into this room and he wants to learn about Islam. Okay? You cannot, Islamically, you cannot mistreat him. You cannot look at him in a bad way that you're a kafir, you're a disbeliever. You cannot do any of these things. Rather, you should treat him with the best way possible. But do you love what he's upon? Do you love his belief system? No. Because he's a person who says Allah has a son. And you cannot love someone who says Allah has a son. Because you don't believe so. And you only get along with people who are like you. Even in Jahiliyyah, before you became a Muslim, if you listen to rap and you drink a certain kind of drink, you hang out with the people who are like you. You see, a rock guy doesn't sit with a rap, with a classical music. Every people who like one thing, they go with each other. Even your friends in the days, you have some things in common. That's why you are friends. You don't just hang out with anyone. Because people are like that. And the believers are like that. You can only feel totally comfortable with somebody who prays like you, he worships Allah like you, he wants to go paradise like you, he believes like you. That's the only way you can really feel relaxed. Just relax. You can't feel the same way with the kafir. You want to go to the masjid. He's like, why are you going to the masjid, man? Let's go, who cares? You pray all day, every day. One prayer, if you don't pray, big deal. How are you going to explain to this person? You will spend the whole time arguing. Look, man, I don't know how to explain to you. This prayer is not a joke in Islam. Okay, there's no such thing, well, I pray every day, so if one day I don't feel like it, I say, okay, today I'm not going to pray, it's fine. There's no such thing. We have serious. Man, you're too much, man. Before you used to be cool. You used to be easygoing. Look at you now. So strict, so this. Enjoy life here. Life is short, man. Say, man, are you, exactly, life is short. I'm going to die soon. Man, I'm trying to prepare for that. Take it easy. You don't get along. Wallah, you don't get along. And then eventually your heart is going to say, man, ruh ya. Go somewhere else. I don't want to hang out with you. Unless you want to invite him to Islam. So you keep hanging out with him, trying to be cool with him, and let go of some things as long as they're not haram in order to bring him into Islam. But to have a buddy, your best friend, and he's a kafir, it never happened. Because you love your friend. You cannot love someone who doesn't care about Allah. You cannot. So these brothers here, and Allah's teaching us this, when they separated from the people, and they ran into the cave, and they were hiding in the cave, then they mentioned that, look man, there's no God but Allah. Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Nobody deserves to be worshipped but Him. Look at our people. Then they discussed among themselves. Look at our people, they've taken other gods besides Allah. So they hated them. They hated their people's disbelief. Even if some of them are family members. So we can never love a disbeliever, but we never oppress a disbeliever. Because Allah says in the Quran, Allah does not forbid you. Allah does not forbid you to treat with kindness and with justice those who are among the people of the book, as long as they're not in war with you. If they haven't taken you outside of their homes and they're not declaring war against you, Allah does not forbid you to treat them kindly with justice. But you don't do the same thing to somebody who's coming to your house and killing your Muslim family and tell them, come on, sit down, let me make you some tea. No. Those ones you can't treat with justice. Because justice for them is that they get off your ground. This is my land, go away. I am going to be nice to you. Because you're not coming here with nice stuff. If you were nice, you will mind your business. So this is an issue that needs to be discussed on a separate occasion. The bottom line here is, our love and our hatred is based on the love and whomever Allah loves and whomever Allah hates. And Allah says in the Quran that He hates the disbelievers. It's in the Quran. Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Those who disbelieve among the people of the book and the mushrikeen, all the idolaters who have other gods or statues or whatever besides Allah, Allah says those will be in the hellfire abiding for eternity. Those are the worst of creation. The worst of creation to Allah. Because they have disbelieved in Allah. So if Allah calls them the worst of creation, do you go love and you go love the worst of creation? No. If Allah doesn't love them, then we cannot love them. Allah loves only the believers, the pious, the righteous, the good doers, the humble people, those who repent, those who purify themselves, those who seek the pleasure of Allah, those who have the characteristics of belief. From the time of Adam until the end of time, all of those who believed, the followers of Noah and the followers of Moses and Abraham and Jesus and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all those who believed properly, those are the only ones whom Allah loves. Everybody else will have zero. Otherwise, there'll be no hellfire. You want to put somebody you love in the hellfire? Would you put your son who you love? Let's say you love your son, right? And he does some very bad, naughty things, and you want to punish him. But would you throw him in the fire for eternity? Would you leave him in the fire for eternity? Never take him out? Torturing him? No. If you love them, you can't. You may slap him a little bit. You may twist his arm. You may scare him with the fire. But you can't leave your beloved son in the fire for eternity. خلاص, go put him in the fire and go walk away. Travel to another country. Never ask about him again. You can't. So, God, His love is conditional. It's not just love like that, as it is, as the Christians try to make it seem. God is love. Why is your God in Islam so mean? Why is God in Islam so, hate, full of hate? Why does He do that? Why? Ya Shaykh, don't tell God, don't ask God why God does what. You mind your business. You believe in God. Even in your belief system, there's a hellfire. What's the hellfire for? Is it a joke? God created it just to what? For entertainment purposes? There's a reason why there's a hellfire, because somebody's going to be going in there. And if Allah's going to leave them there eternally, Allah does not love them. Whereas the believer, because Allah loves the believer, even if he's bad, even if he has shortcomings, because we believe we have some sort of love. That's why if a Muslim goes to the fire, you will not be there forever. Because of the love that Allah has for the believer, after, like the same thing with the child, after you reprimand them and beat them a few times, then you hunt them. Say, don't do it again, okay? And you take him with you, because you have some love for him. Although he did some things that made you mad, so you punished him a little bit, but eventually, he's still your son. You won't leave him in the fire forever. So the believer, the slave of Allah, is the same case. He may do some things that will make him go to the fire, but because he was a believer in Allah, Allah will not leave him in the hellfire forever. Rather, he will be taken out whenever Allah wills, and he'll be permitted to paradise, and everything will be good again. But then he might have to pay for the punishment. As for the disbelievers, never they will go out from the fire. Never. That's an indication that Allah does not love them. Allah does not love them. Had Allah loved them, this would never be the case. Then nobody would go to the fire. We wouldn't even be on this earth. If Allah loved everyone so unconditionally, we would all be in paradise. Why would we be tested? Why do we have to suffer in life? Why is there tornadoes, earthquakes? Why is there loss of wealth, loss of children, loss of loved ones? Why are all these calamities befalling on the children of Adam? So those who deserve it, those who deserve paradise will earn it with work. And those who deserve the hellfire will also earn it with their own hands, with their own work. So it is a test for those who win the love of Allah, work hard for it. And those who don't care for the love of Allah, then they will be given what they deserve. So this is yani a reminder for me and you to reconsider our objective in life.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salam alaikum.
Labas habibi. to reconsider our objective in life, ya ikhwan, and to make sure that we strive to please no one but Allah, and we should work for the love of no one but the love of Allah. So if you have to make a choice between Allah and your friends, choose Allah. If you have to make a choice between Allah and your family members, choose Allah. If something Allah commands you to do, and your family members or your Muslim friends or non-Muslim friends, whoever, is asking you to do something else, always choose Allah. Because the success is with Allah. Gaining the love of Allah is more valuable than the love of every human being. Because you people are not fair. They love you one day, they hate you the next day. One day they respect you, the next day they put you down. One day they're on your side, the next day they're against you. People fluctuate. Nobody's consistent with you. But, so there's no point in trying to gain their love. Wallah, you love me, barakallah. If you don't love me, there's a lot of roles. Love somebody else. The idea here is that we don't try to do things for the sake of people by not pleasing Allah. Because these people will never be happy. Rather, the pleasure of Allah is something that is attainable. That should be our ultimate goal. So as we live our lives, if the opinion of people comes in contradiction with the commandment of Allah, never forsake the commandment of Allah for the opinion of the people. Because if you earn the love of Allah, you are successful. If you don't earn the love of Allah, then there is no success. And so we need success in this world, and we need success in the hereafter. So the Shaykh said, then the young man said, لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. Only if these people of ours, they bring a clear evidence, clear proof that these other idols that they worship with are gods. Let them bring it. Bring your evidence, as Allah says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your evidence if you are truthful. مَعَكُمْ سَلَى رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. The Shaykh said, يعني with proof and evidence, and that whatever they are upon is straight up falsehood, they will never be able to do so. The disbelievers, ya akhwan, the disbeliever can never convince you. He can never convince you that what he is upon is correct, because he's upon falsehood. He can never convince a Muslim who has 2% iman and 1% common sense. He can never make a Muslim go outside of Islam, because what he's upon is falsehood. And those who have, and there are very few, those who have went from Islam into another religion, besides being counted on the finger, you find them, they are the most ignorant of people in Islam while they were Muslims. Because once you enter into Islam and you get introduced to all the facts about life, the facts about God, the facts about His legislation, and then you look everywhere else, you cannot find anything that will satisfy you. Nothing will satisfy you, because there's nothing but falsehood and opinions of people. It's always opinion of such person and the opinion of such person. Nothing is from God, preserved, protected, and guidance. The only way where it has been preserved like this is with the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they will never be able to bring you any evidence that, wallah, no, this statue here is a god. You know, trust me. The statue is a god. Say, okay, no, I don't want to trust you. Prove it to me. I want to use my brain, Malish. Allah gave me a brain so I could use it. I use it when I do business transactions. I use it when I work. I would like to use my brain to believe also, if you do not mind. Because we don't have anything as blind faith in Islam. Say, well, I turn off your brain and believe. It has to make sense first. First, it has to make sense. That's why we have a brain. Then you believe. So prove to me, Mr. Kafir, whoever you are, that this statue that you're worshipping is God, or has some godly attributes, or is not the only one God, a partner to God, or the Son of God, or anything. Prove it. What will he say? Where will he begin? Do you think he's going to bring you any revelation? You think he will find you any revelation from God? Tell you, look, he will bring you the book written, authored by Farfur Farafirin Farfar. Who's this guy? Well, he's the one who started our sect. He's the founder of this religion. MashaAllah. Was he a prophet? No. Messenger? No. So you're worshipping God? Alaykum As-salamu 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 alaykum as-sal You're worshiping God according to the opinion of Farfur, Farfir, Farafiro. Wallah, you're a special individual, man. So what's your evidence for that? He will tell you what our master said, that you know, Genghis Khan, the statue here, has the ability to give you fruit every 6 hours. Prove it to me. I can't. It just says this here. So you will find that you're dealing with somebody who really has put his brain on vacation and he's only accepting whatever people tell him. Then you will find out later that they have installed a refrigerator, like a vending machine, in the back of the statue. And whenever they want people to come into their religion, they press on a button right here, and the statue opens its belly, and a fruit falls out. So, hey, this is God. And then somebody unplugs the electric cord, and the God doesn't work anymore. Yeah, and people do funny stuff. They used to do this in Lebanon. In Lebanon, they bring you a statue of Mary, and they put a compartment of olive oil, and then they put it in front of the people, and then the olive oil falls from the eye. Say, she's crying, olive oil. Get full of tamiz and get some oil. Command, yalla, have that dinner. Yeah, Shaykh, leave us alone with this nonsense. People do funny stuff, trying to prove to you that this thing has to do something divine. They try too hard, and the issue is much more simple. La ilaha illallah. Leave me alone with all this stuff. Know this and know that. Nobody can do nothing except by the will of Allah. Go. This is Islam. This is common sense. This is religion and the teachings of all the prophets and messengers. If you're going to bring me the teachings of anyone but the messengers, you are a misguided person and you're trying to misguide me with you. And the teachings of the prophets and the messengers was not that Jesus was one of three. And it was not that Jesus was the Son of God. This was never the teachings of Noah, Abraham, Moses. Otherwise, you would have known this. They would have came and told the people, look, God is one of three. The Son hasn't come yet. He will come 20 million years later. Make sure you believe that He will die on the cross for your sins to be a believer. You will not find this to be in the scriptures.
Yes.
You are here. You will not find this to be in the scriptures of any other previous prophet. This was never their teachings. This was never their teachings. So this is just a fabrication of the people. The teachings of the prophets and the messengers is that La ilaha illallah. There's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Focus with me right here, ya akhwan. Ma'lish. See, this is something that we happen in during Jumu'ah, Khutbat al-Jumu'ah. And I will mention it here again. Every time somebody walks in, everybody keeps staring at him. And I'll be talking to myself, and they're watching him. What a nice shoes. These looks like some fancy jeans he's wearing. I wonder which chair he's going to get. He puts the chair, he said, everybody's watching in the autumn. Yes, Shaykh Tayyib and Ba'dan. Tayyib, every time, and during Jumu'ah, khutbah translation, every 3 seconds somebody walks in. So the whole khutbah translation is... So anyways, I tell them and I tell you now, don't worry, as soon as somebody comes in, you see him the first time, you recognize who he is, forget about him. He will figure his own stuff out. You stay here. There. Because the shaitan wants to break us apart. So we don't want to let that happen. Anyways, I'm done. That's why the final thing he said, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. So who is more in the state of oppression? Who is more oppressed than the one who invents a lie against Allah? And there's an indication that anyone who claims anything but La ilaha illallah is a fabricator, is a liar who is inventing against Allah. He is claiming things on behalf of Allah. Because Allah revealed La ilaha illallah and He's telling you, no, there must be some other gods with Allah. Somehow, some way. InshaAllah ta'ala, we will deal with this. Bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, al-usbu' al-qadim, inshaAllah, next week. We have made it to verse 16. Tayyib? We are at verse 16, inshaAllah, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.